Welcome to the Dean's List, engaging conversations at the intersection of entrepreneurship, artistic expression, and holistic health. Experience wellness in full color, where fashion, beauty, and art blend with body, mind, and soul. Embark on a journey that dresses your aspirations in style, paints your life with beauty, and sculpts your well-being in every dimension. This is the Dean's List, where inspiration is always in session. Welcome to the Dean's List, where we celebrate the artistry and innovation of entrepreneurs shaping the future of wellness and style. I'm your host, Allison Dean, and today I'm thrilled to have Bianca Kudikatu with us, a pioneering fashion designer whose unique vision has brought the traditional art of kantha quilting into the contemporary fashion scene. Through her exquisite, one-of-a-kind kantha quilt jackets, I'm proud to have a few, and accessories, she not only showcases the beauty of this ancient craft, but also tells a story of sustainability, culture, and personal expression. Namai is one of literally my most favorite brands, and I am so excited to have you here, Bianca.
So excited to be here with you, Allison.
All right, so I want to kick it off because burning questions, what inspired you to start Namai Studio?
So there's two parts to this answer because the first part is the product. So what inspired me to start making the jackets was just my discovery and then obsession with kantha quilts. And I think I discovered them pretty late in life. But when I was working as a shoe designer, I basically lived on Etsy. I was constantly researching vintage shoes and new interesting leather techniques. So I came across kantha quilts. I don't know, I bought like 20 in the first week and I was giving them to friends. I had them all over my house and then they just percolated for quite a few years. But I knew in the back of my mind, I was like, one day I want to make a jacket out of this.
Yeah.
And I had a vintage padded jacket and I always got compliments on it. And it was made in India, but it wasn't kantha, but it was close enough. It was also a really great way for me to feel connected to my roots because I didn't grow up with my Indian roots. And discovering kantha and the graphic, modern, colorful, cool vibes of the kantha just made me really proud of my heritage and made me feel more connected. That was the product side. And then actually forming a business, because for a long time, I just had a pile of jackets on a chair in my living room. And friends would come and look at them and like them, but I didn't do anything with them. But what made me decide to start a company was the first fall market that I did. Mm-hmm. And I had these jackets sitting around all summer. I was like, maybe no one's going to like them. I'm getting nervous. So I sold them really cheap. But people just descended upon my booth and were just going crazy for them. And everyone was trying them on. The first person that bought a jacket off of me was this really cool girl from New York City who was just in Mountaindale for the weekend wearing Prada shoes. And she bought two right off the bat. So I was like, I think I'm onto something.
Yeah.
And other vendors that were doing the market with me who hadn't sold anything and shouldn't have really been buying things, bought jackets. So I was like, this is good. And also I sold them way too cheap. So, but people's response is what motivated me to have the business. And that's what still motivates me.
On all your previous work experience that you've had since you did a lot of shoe design, I guess what elements of that also helped outside of just people's motivation around you that it was such a good idea, but what else has helped you in your business today, you think?
I think technically there's a lot of things that I do that I don't even really know that I know how to do because I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But one of those key things I think is just communication because I communicate 100% on WhatsApp with all of my suppliers and I work with five or six different artisans and a lot of them really don't speak much English. And I'm very obstinate and determined about the way I want things done.
Yes.
So getting that across on WhatsApp, that's something I've just become accustomed to because I've worked in Italy, Portugal, China. I'm used to working with people where English is a second language.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's the number one thing. And I have my attention to detail from footwear.
Right.
But I was also really happy to let a lot of that go and just not be so obsessive about the millimeters.
But I do think that is something about Nimai, because when you get a piece, hopefully, if you all get a piece, you can kind of see it with what Bianca has on right now. But there's like such lovely accents. Like everything is just so thoughtful, and like where she's put or, you know, instructed all the different lines to happen. I feel like the detail is definitely, I mean, it's one of the things I think that caught my eye outside of the awesome patterns, right? And just the lovely materials. Okay, so you often send blog posts, and in one of, it's probably my most favorite blog post, because I sometimes tell people that work with me that they should go hug a tree. So you wrote about hugging trees, so that like totally made me smile. But you explored unique connections with nature. So I want to know how, when you connect with nature, how do those connections influence your work and just your creativity overall?
In so many different ways, but part of my life, I grew up in Canada, completely off the grid with no running water or electricity. So nature was a burden for a teenager, but it was also a place where I could get solace and calm my raging hormones and get distance from my life. And I think the distance part is what stuck with me. And the 20 years that I lived in the city and was never in nature and never wanted to be in nature, when I started to spend more time in nature during the pandemic, that's when I remembered how much of a solace it had been for me and how calming it was. Mm-hmm. I see nature in my daily life. It's like a palate cleanser. It's like journaling or any other kind of practice that just allows me to release my stresses and overthinking and then just get on with the day and be creative. But yeah, there's so many elements to that.
I think too, when we're so digitally connected, you know, especially with our business and everything else, it's that much more paramount to get outside and to connect with nature, to have that sort of grounding and the yin and yang, right? It's just like we need the balance. So I need more of that, Bianca. I've been trying to be more consistent with the breaks I have during the day to just like get some fresh air, open a window. Even if I can't go outside, mm-hmm. it's like open a window, like get some fresh air. Okay, well, you and I joke about this because I think it's the way I like to make myself feel better about having a couple of my pieces. I say that I'm building a museum collection of Nimai, and my friends would attest to that. But I think for me, what it is it's the connection between fashion and how fashion and personal expression really go hand in hand. And just also, like for me, especially doing a corporate job and doing a lot of calls on Zoom, it's like the small things that you need, especially when you're looking at yourself on camera all day, how like putting a different jacket on. I mean, I can literally wear two jackets in one call if I wanted to, right? Just like change it all up. But I think my question really is, for people like me who equate fashion and wellness together, because it really does, I think, make me feel good when I have something on that brings me joy, if you will, like the condo style, right? I'm just curious how that resonates for you, right? People like me who really use fashion as a way to feel good.
Yeah, it's definitely a founding principle behind what I do. Okay. And it definitely goes back to that first market that I did when I saw people's responses. And people gave me so much feedback, and they still do, about their relationships with their individual one-of-a-kind jackets. But I love doing in-person events because I watch people's process of choosing their jacket. And one experience really stood out last fall when I did Field and Supply. And I had a customer who spent probably an hour and a half circling between three jackets that she couldn't decide which one she wanted. And her whole thing was like, this is the one that I know is me and that I'll wear and it goes with everything. But this is the one that's the person I want to be and who I want to be in the future. And I love that she ended up going with that jacket, because I think that there's so many elements to self-expression, because right. we're expressing who we are on the inside. When we're on a Zoom call or in the corporate world, we want people to know, like, I love art. I love artisan unique things. And that's something about me that's important.
Right.
But there's also this idea that there's someone we want to inhabit that we maybe don't 100% feel. Mm-hmm. And I always think when I go to an art museum or a gallery, I want to look cool and artsy. You know, it's cliche, but that's honestly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I adore myself to match the way I want to feel and the person that I want to be.
Yeah.
But with self-care, I think it takes that to another step in a way that if you're like, I want to feel comforted, I'm going to wear a more structured jacket that makes me feel strong, or I want to feel soft and vulnerable, I'll wear a softer, unstructured jacket. Lots of different moods.
Yeah. You just helped me, you know, make myself feel better about also adding more. So if I was the shopper next to that person that was deciding between the three, I'd be like, you should buy all of them. Anyway, I'm that person where if I'm with friends and they're like, should I get the blue or the purple? I'm like, well, are you going to wear both? Are you going to be sad if you don't get both? There's been definitely times where I've messaged Bianca because there was like a jacket that I was eyeballing for a while. And then all of a sudden it sold out and you can't wait if you think it's something that belongs in your life. Okay. Anyway, back to you, Bianca. Managing a business, it obviously demands a lot of energy. It demands a lot of focus. So how do you find your own moments of peace and you recharge? Is it going back into nature and that's like the prime way to do it? Or are there other ways that you do it too?
On a day-to-day basis, it's going into nature because I have to walk my dog. So it's an easy combination of things.
Sure.
And I think that the way I ground myself in nature on a day-to-day basis is with my eyes, funnily enough. Like I make an effort to look at things with a fresh perspective. And even if it's the same kind of boring walk that I do every day I see something new and beautiful that I didn't see the day before.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy. But then art and culture is what I need to stay creative.
Music and...
Yeah, music, going to exhibitions, seeing people wearing cool clothes.
I love that. Okay, reflecting on your journey, let's talk about a pivotal challenge or maybe a risk that you faced and how it helped shape your path, or how did it potentially lead to an unexpected opportunity?
So there's definitely a few because it's so early in the business stage, but one that came to mind is when I started collaborating with my distributor in Paris, and she messaged me on Instagram. She didn't really have a big following. She just started a new showroom.
Okay.
We met on Zoom and then I just decided to start selling my jackets to her. And I'm not risk averse. That can be a problem, but often I think it's helpful in what I'm doing. So I just said, okay, let's just try. And then I was doing a trade show and a buyer from one of my favorite stores in the whole world, a boutique called Merci in Paris, came by my stand and said, oh, you're at Roche Agency. Oh, it's a beautiful showroom. It's great collection. So that made me feel really good. But then collaborating with Kristen, after the first season, she told me, I only want Laudia jackets. Hmm. And to be frank, I was kind of actually enraged and really frustrated because I was like, that's not my brand. You can't just pick one jacket. And it's not even my favorite jacket. So I was like, this is so frustrating. But I did it because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, one of the things that I constantly tell myself is listen to your customer.
Yeah.
And I was telling myself, she is my customer. So I need to listen to her.
Right.
And what is she telling me? She's telling me the Laudia jacket's very popular. So I was like, what if I started making more Laudia jackets for my business and see how that goes? And that's really when my business took off.
I love that. Yeah, because when I first went to the site, I actually think it was the Narmada. You had a few of those. And then mm-hmm. I was like, you had none of them. And I was like, oh, man. And I remember even I messaged you and I was like, what happened to all the Narmadas? Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, that's interesting. It's interesting. And that's a really good example, I think, of how you leverage feedback mm-hmm. and how it really has helped your own business excel. So that's amazing.
Definitely. That's something that I also, I think, learned in my previous career because feedback wasn't always easy.
In the corporate world, we joke to look at feedback as a gift, even when it's hard to hear. It's like you have to take everything with a grain of salt on some level. But I think overall, if you can think about it, like it is a gift, it really does help reshape how you may receive it, right? It might sting a little bit because your favorite is the Ashani, or, you know, you might have like other faves. It's still one of those things where I think it's an amazing example for you, Bianca, of just how you took feedback and how it helped your own business. And that's a great example for other entrepreneurs, I think, out there that may be in a similar situation of, but wait, that's not my favorite. You know, it could help them. So that's great. How has your journey as an entrepreneur contributed to your own personal growth or changed any perspectives that you've had on life?
So I like that question because for me, being an entrepreneur is personal growth 100%. And I love learning. That's what I loved about being a shoe designer. I love learning new things.
Yeah.
So learning new things as an entrepreneur is like the number one thing for me and the thing that I love.
Yeah.
But it's also been really challenging being out of my comfort zone because I had a career for a long time, something I was an expert at and very comfortable doing. And then I started out doing something new and I didn't know how to do anything, you know, even writing an email, not, you know, a normal email, but a Klaviyo email, putting products on the website, all of those things were totally new. So it really pushed me outside of my comfort zone and I learned to be comfortable in that place, which is something I'm so happy about and love. And now my personal growth is being helped along by a course that I'm doing about business growth for entrepreneurs, creative entrepreneurs. And we're working, going inside and looking at our personal history to find out what our core values are and what our relationship to money and growth and product and all of those things is. And the leader of the course explicitly says that business is, being an entrepreneur is personal growth. So it's a happy place for me.
I've connected a lot with what you just said, because now even with the podcast, right, there are so many things that I will be doing that I don't often ever need to do. And this is one of those things. I was talking to a friend today. It's like I'm overwhelmed by it, but I know it's going to be a great growth moment for me. But I'm also like, but I have to like turn that page, right? It's like, okay, I know that I'll be okay once I turn the page, but it's like turning the page. And I'm like, anyway, so I can relate to that. Okay, I was going to ask, what aspect of running the business brings you the most joy? I don't know if you kind of already insinuated it's the people and the people's reaction, but is there another element too in terms of like the actual day-to-day running of the business?
Yeah, I think probably the thing I enjoy the most is also the learning and the personal growth, and also just working on the business and thinking strategically about the business.
Yeah.
But also the day to day, I see the website and social media and emails, i.e. marketing, as like my store window for the world.
Yeah.
So I enjoy working on that because it's a way of expressing my vision and my brand to people all over the world. And I think that's really exciting. I do all the social media myself, as you know, because we're constantly chatting. And I really genuinely enjoy it, which has come as a huge surprise to me.
Well, because I think when you have the community around you that you can tell obviously values what you're doing so much, it makes it just feel good probably, right? Like it gives you a sense of satisfaction. Yeah.
100%. Because I feel like I'm building a community.
Yeah.
And sometimes I question, because I'm kind of hardcore, you know, I want to test my own values. And I'm like, is it really a community? Or is this just some fake business community that like isn't real? But people repeatedly tell me in messages that they feel like they're part of a community. So I'm glad, because that's how I feel too.
I haven't yet been blessed to see another Namai in the wild. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I know that there are people that have, and I'm like so excited for that day when I'm like, oh my God. I feel confident, Bianca, that this year, because I'm going to have people around me that are going to start to also build their museum collection of Namai. And then I will feel like, yes, the community is just thriving around me. I did want to just mention, because I think that what you just said is very important, the community element. You last year created the site for people that may want to offer their jackets back to the community and they get a credit to, you know, get their next jacket. Can we talk a little bit just about what prompted that? Was it just that element of community and making sure the sustainability aspect just really was pervasive through the Namai brand, or how did that come to life for you?
So that was related to a lot of principles that are really important to me. Community is one of them, but accessibility, I would say, is really, really key. And it's something that I pay attention to in my business because I know that the jackets aren't cheap. And I want people of all walks of life to be able to afford them and access them. So Treat and the resale site is one way for us to be able to be more accessible. Another way is the Instagram sales. And we do also small community sales in our neighborhood. But accessibility is really important to me because I didn't grow up having a lot of money and I don't want to be a luxury in an exclusive, in the sense of excluding other people. But also circularity, because I don't believe that clothing loses value over time. And my jackets are meant to be heirlooms and last forever. So if someone else has had the jacket and taken it on some interesting journeys or done cool things with the jacket, and then they want to sell it, to me, that jacket is just as valuable as the day that it was made.
Right. It's almost like if I ever, which I don't know that I will, Bianca, but if I ever were to sell one, I can then add my stories to it. This jacket went to this concert, and this jacket went to these countries.
100%.
Now this jacket costs even more money. No, but I love that so much. Okay, and so actually that really does segue into the next question. You know, success is very multifaceted, and obviously many entrepreneurs view success in a multitude of ways. So besides the financial metrics, to you, and maybe an aspect of it is the accessibility piece, but what does success look like for Nemai Studio to you?
Outside of financials, it's just building community, really, and expanding on that. Mm-hmm. Expanding on real community and worldwide global community. Yeah. And then personally, I always view success as not working very much. If someone doesn't work that much, in my mind, I'm impressed. And I think that's a successful person. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that for me personally, working night and day, 7 days a week, that is not my life currently, thank goodness. But the less I work, the more successful I'll feel, because that will mean I'm an excellent manager and I have a team that I trust and who does amazing work. And you know, I can just be busy thinking and getting inspired. So that's success for me.
Cheers to that. I also think, though, it's that hybrid of when you're doing things that you love, it doesn't feel like work, right? And getting closer to that aspect of things, right? When you can do the things that you're just so motivated by, and the byproduct is you're still making money. I think that's a sweet spot, too. But I do like what you're saying. You know, it's nice when you can just have teams that can do certain things, right? But I also just wonder, like, how much you miss it, too. So it's like that balance of once you get to that point where you can have teams and you can doing all these things, but you love it so much. In like 5 years, Bianca, we can reflect back and we can talk about how you're managing that, right?
Yeah, I think for me, it's always important to touch the product. And yeah, I can definitely relate to the idea. I don't feel like I'm working. I absolutely love my job. And when I'm going through challenging times in my personal life, I want to work even more because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's because it's my business. In my last job, my boss, who was the founder, was always saying how when you love your job, it just doesn't feel like work. And I just couldn't relate at all. And then when I got my own business, I was like, oh, I finally understood.
Oh, that's what that means. Exactly. Okay. So let us look forward 5 years from now. Where do you see Nemai Studio? And are there new directions that you're already percolating on, excited to explore? I will say there's one in my head. I don't know that I've said it to you. And I don't know if I said it now, if I would ruin a surprise. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. But anything that you want to share related to 5 years from now?
I think that the way that I'm looking at the future is, because right now I make clothes out of recycled quilts.
Yep.
And what's really important to me about the quilts is the story behind them and the stories that are woven into them.
Yep.
So I think that that is the most important thing for me when I'm looking to the future and I'm looking at new fabrics, who makes them, what's the story behind those fabrics, and then what are other ways of using recycled materials, like the knitted sweaters that are made out of recycled silk, and there's other types of woven silks, recycled saris. So There's definitely more recycled materials, but also new fabrics that are woven with stories and regenerative agriculture and other stories.
I love that so much. Okay, this is a surprise quickfire round, Bianca, for people to get to know you on some other fun fact level. So nothing scary, I hope. Early bird or night owl, when do you get your best work done?
Early bird.
Okay. Coffee or tea, what fuels your workday?
Both.
Oh, okay. Hybrid. What was the first job you ever had?
Picking cherries in an orchard in Canada.
Huh. What's the one app you cannot live without?
Probably Instagram presently.
I know, right? What's the one word you would use to describe your business journey in one word?
Discovery.
Okay. If you could have any entrepreneur as a mentor for a day, who would it be?
Mara Hoffman.
Ooh, that's so interesting. When I opened Insta this morning, there was Mara Hoffman. That doesn't happen every day, by the way. Like, she's not normally popping in my feed. Okay. What's a book that has significantly influenced your business mindset?
Oh, there's so many. I'm a big reader, but recently, The E-Myth, I would say, hugely influential. Yeah, okay. Really changed my mindset or reinforced some ideas that I also already had.
I feel like I'm gonna have to start doing like a collection with that question of all the people on the show and having like a book library of all the Dean's List guests and all the books that they've mentioned, right? That'd be cool. Besides your own, what is your favorite small business?
Oh, there's so many. There's different perspectives, but our products I love. I love Verity and Daughters, the multicolored pants. I love my friend's botanical skincare line, Dear Botanics. I love my friend's Turkish towels and dresses range. Oh my goodness.
You're like a hub of just like magical things, especially with all the markets that you go to. Bianca is just like, she just knows. She knows so many brands. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. If you could instantly acquire one new skill, what would it be instantly?
Typing.
If you could time travel to any period in history, which era would you visit?
I mean, to be honest, I'd rather go to the future, but if I had to, I would go to 1930s Harlem jazz clubs.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, if you weren't doing this, what else would you be doing?
Oh, well, I've always wanted to have a vegan cafe.
Mm.
I love interior design. So those are definitely a couple things I'd be doing.
Okay, and last one, favorite color?
Purple.
Purple! Most of my jackets are purple. Somehow purple has taken over, I think, in a big way. Okay, a few more questions left. What advice would you give to someone starting their entrepreneurial journey, especially in creating a business that reflects their passions?
When you say that, I think of like a product-based business.
Okay.
Which I don't think it would have to be, but for a product-based business, I would say do in-person events, do markets, invite your friends over for pop-ups and listen to the customer. That's my core learning. And I think that if you keep an open mind and you see what people respond to, You may be taken in directions you couldn't have dreamt possible.
I love that. We're going to use that, Bianca, as a Instagram billboard or something. I need to figure that out. That was lovely. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have?
I don't think so.
I know it's a hard one. In my previous life with my last podcast that was corporate-y focused, that was an interesting question because there were times when people were like, no. And then there were times where people said, ooh, one person said, you know, I always ask that question, and I really stumped them that I had asked them that question. I was like, this is funny. It's anyway. Okay, Bianca, please share your socials, share all the things that people need to know about related to Namai.
Yeah, so the website is namai-studio.com.
Yep.
And Instagram is namai_studio. So that's it.
Bada bing. And actually, for everyone listening, there is a code, Dean's List, no apostrophe, Dean's List, and you'll get $60 off your Namai purchase. So that's compelling. And it's, remember, if you get a jacket, you're getting 2-in-1. So for me, it's a very sensible purchase. I'm just saying, 2-in-1. Bianca, thank you so much for being on the Dean's List. And I think this will be our first ep. So you are literally not only a pioneer with Namai, but you're now my pioneer of the Dean's List. So thank you.
Thank you. This was so fun. And also my first podcast, so very fun. Thank you.
Good. And thank you all for tuning into this episode of The Dean's List. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platforms to stay updated and follow us on YouTube and Instagram at Official Dean's List for even more insights and behind the scenes content. I'm your host, Allison Dean. Until next time.